questions, if you have. We begin with the questions. And then few more verses, and then I'll give a loom. Oh, we begin. Can you hear? We begin with questions, and then few more things to say about student-guru relationship. And then there has been some request of transmissions of Nundo. So I'll read that transmission, and that's it.
Rinpoche, earlier on you said that you wanted to make some holes in people's heads so that they didn't become too disillusioned when they got the information. But isn't disillusionment what the whole thing's about?
If you know it is, if it is an illusion, then you will not find, it will not disillusion you, I guess. That's it?
Rinpoche, how should a student treat a teacher?
Treat?
Is that a request?
This leads to the next thing that I wanted to say here. Especially, generally in Buddhism and especially in the Vajrayana, of course in the Vajrayana, Guru is not only a person, a being, but it is the path that I have told you. You also know that the real Guru, the ultimate Guru, is your own wisdom mind. That we have discussed this. In order to get in touch with this wisdom Guru, we sort of get in touch with the outer Guru. Outer Guru then, okay, but what does this mean, getting in touch with the inner wisdom Guru? Basically, it means uncovering the wisdom. When we talk about uncovering the wisdom, discovering the wisdom, we are talking about some kind of a wrap, some kind of a cocoon that you need to dismantle. Some kind of a layers of veil that you have to unveil. And that's your ego. So, especially in the Vajrayana Buddhism, basically, outer Guru is a person who you, after a lot of thinking, after a lot of analysis, after a lot of contemplation, hire to do this job of unveiling. Basically, destroy your ego. Right? Because that's your aim. That is your fundamental aim. So when you talk about treating, how to treat the Guru, it also has to be based on that. Not so much on what he likes or he doesn't like. it must all be rooted to how much of the guru's interreaction towards you unveils your this cocoon or this wrap, this curtain. And so what I'm saying is, you treat the guru by doing everything what your ego doesn't like to do. Your ego doesn't want to do, but guru tells you to do. You see, this is why it's good that we have discussed all the things that we discussed yesterday. Okay, please keep in your mind the guru's interest must also be unveiling, that, you know, dismantling the student's ignorance. Based on that, guru tells you to do all kinds of things, amazing things. Amazing to what? Amazing to ego. Unacceptable to ego. That you have to do, and that's the best treatment. And then on the top of that, of course, etiquette, respect, humility, all this applies. They are all ornament. Without this, respect, you know, prostrations, all of this. It's just another layer of cocoon that is so thick that needs another kind of destructions, another form, another. It just adds up. Your cocoon becomes bigger and bigger. Everything goes back to the motivation of wanting to achieve enlightenment, wanting the student to reach enlightenment. Everything should be rooted to this. Okay. Once you see, it's good that we have discussed this. Now, when you hear Vajrayana Master saying that Vajra student must do whatever the Vajra Master say, it's not nothing. We are not talking about theatrical, sort of theatrical kind of, dictatorial kind of thing. It's a mutual agreement. Remember, we talked about mutual agreement. You, a student, want to unveil the wisdom. Teacher wants to do that too. That is the mutual agreement between you and the student. You and the teacher. And based on that, you are working. If you don't have that mutual agreement, then it's hard, very hard. Do you want to use?
Sorry, I probably wasn't paying sufficient attention. What did you say about the cocoon becoming bigger and bigger?
If the interest is not for enlightenment, the respect, devotion, guru yoga, mantras, prostrations, shining shoes, all of these becomes another layer of cocoon. And that cocoon is even more hard to destroy. Because you are doing it probably because your motivation is you don't want to lose a companion. And we are not only interested in Mitra, which is the companion. We are interested in Kalyana. spiritual companion.
Is the cocoon sometimes, I think maybe Trungpa called it spiritual materialism perhaps.
Yes,
yeah.
In this case.
Yeah.
Star? Yeah.
The teacher is given lots of different advice over years, and some of it you manage to follow and some of it you haven't, should you still go back and try and, you know, if the circumstances come up that you can follow the advice of 8 years ago, should you still try and do it? Or should you check?
As long as you haven't forgotten this aim, yes. You should. Okay. He may have said, okay, you do this, otherwise I will punish you. Right? Let's say he has said that. You should do that, otherwise I won't speak to you or something like that within a certain period of time. If you are really interested in enlightenment, if that is your aim, and if you know that he can only deliver that, he can give you the enlightenment, the path to the enlightenment, you should choose that and not be afraid of the punishment.
Sorry, I didn't understand. What?
Okay. Let's say your guru says you have to do such and such homework within this period of time, and you have been lazy, not doing it at all, and you really don't know what to do now. You can't face him because you haven't done what you promised. Right? And usually you end up not going to see him because you are afraid that, because you are guilty, because you haven't done what you have promised, and you think that he'll be mad or something like that. So what I'm saying is, in this case, you are putting more importance to the issue of him becoming happy with you, and forgetting the main aim, enlightenment. If the enlightenment is important, yes, go ahead. Okay, he will punish you, so what?
So sometimes in following the teacher's advice, sometimes it seems, okay, you can just try and do it. But then sometimes there's other advice that it's like this: the causes and conditions, the circumstances need to come up to be able to follow it. What do you do if you get some advice and then sometimes the circumstances don't seem to come up where you can just easily follow that advice. Do you wait until the circumstances come and then you follow it?
That's a very big question. Sometimes better not. Sometimes better not. Most of the time I would say better not wait for the circumstances because they will never come anyway.
So you just try and force, make things happen?
I think so. By the way, when I use the word punishment and stuff like that, again, don't think that there is a set of written rules of what engagement of the lamas. We don't have that.
So just to be clear, should I go through a list of all the things you told me to do over the last 8 years, and anything I haven't done, should I try and do still? All of.
If he doesn't say that you should do or you should stop, then, and if your guilt is knocking at you, or if your inspiration is knocking you, yes, why not?
I wanted to ask about the analogy of placebo, because if someone is a patient and they come to a doctor, the doctor normally doesn't tell them, look, I'm giving you nothing.
Then?
Whereas that's what you've done.
And then?
Well, in the sense of
What makes you think I'm telling the truth?
Do you follow the view that to have inspiration, usually you have to feel that, like for a patient, they have to be taking medicine, thinking it's something. Yeah. That's how a placebo works. It's actually deception.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you something that you think is something, you know, you actually think has something, but it's actually mm-hmm. not.
Yes. Good.
You see, the patient actually thinks that they're actually taking something.
Oh, yeah, of course. Mm. Definitely. Very good.
Well, the patient may think, well, why bother taking it at all?
What did you say? Sometimes the patient
mightn't bother taking it at all. Do you understand?
Yes, that's quite sophisticated. If it comes from a certain attitude, it's good. But most likely, it comes from the attitude of sort of nihilist, sort of. And I say nihilist because you still believe that you are sick. As long as you believe in existence of a problem, then you are bound to believe in the existence of a solution.